Hey everyone, Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
Yes, you are.
Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. All right, today's guest, she is a journalist. She focuses on homes of the macabre, and we are honored to speak with Claire Trapasso. Thank you so much for being on the show, Claire.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is fascinating. We got pointed to your show because we had a joke about this a long time ago about people, like the true crime thing would happen so much and so hard that there would be a whole market for homes that people have been murdered in. And it's real now. And I know that, like, we've said it too, it's like, we're the same way. I would not feel super squeamish necessarily if I found out that my own home. But how did you get into the murder home business?
That's a great question. So in one of my previous jobs, I worked at a New York City tabloid, like Picture Spider-Man, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Got yelled at by a lot of editors. And like, I cover community board meetings and like education and all of these nice things. And then three people would get shot and they'd be like, Claire, go cover that. So I covered a lot of that. Like I covered the murder mayhem shift, I called it, on Saturday nights for.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Some for like a bunch of years. And then at some point in time, you're like, maybe I want to be running away from the disaster, not toward it. So right. I got one of those like real jobs, you know, like those desk jobs. I work at realtor.com now.
Sure.
And I cover real estate. And I was like, you know, I still have this love of true crime and this fascination with true crime. And people are fascinated by these houses,
yes,
which are often where these homes occurred. I mean, they drive by them all the time. They make movies about these places. Mm-hmm. These places are local legends in a lot of small communities. So I got into writing about these homes that would go on the market and people would buy them, even though, you know, some pretty twisted shit happened in these places.
Yeah. Do you think people would buy them in spite of or because of the crime that took place? Ooh. Because it's a bizarre, Henry was talking before the show, he'll take a house on a discount if there was a murder that took place in that house. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those houses going for more if it's a super famous case.
It depends. Okay, so when you're talking about a house where a grisly murder happened, and we're talking like serious press coverage,
yeah,
you're probably going to get anywhere from a 10 to 25% discount on the house, except in New Orleans, because in New Orleans, you make it a premium for it because they love that in New Orleans.
Oh, that's funny.
So you find it really is regional, like truly, like there are certain areas. I mean, New Orleans is very unique.
Yeah.
But like, it's,
I mean, like if it happens in a city, you know, like a big city, there's murders all the time in a big city. It's not going to get that much attention, right?
Okay.
So you're probably not going to see as much of like a big discount. But if you're in a small town somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and this is the biggest thing that's ever happened. Yeah. I mean, the stigma is going to last a lot longer for a house like that. So, you know, and then the discount's really going to depend on like how bad was the crime, how many people died. Were there kids involved? I mean, that's really the worst. If there's kids involved, the discount's going to be heavier.
If there's kids,
extra discount for sure. But you know, it's so interesting because obviously the house is innocent, isn't it? It's just a structure. Anything can happen inside of the house. But why is it that these things remain? You know, we talk about sort of residual hauntings, intelligent hauntings, and whatever, even if you're not in the haunting
sphere. This is different. This is even different because, like, would you say what percentage of these homes that you sell end up getting described as haunted? Or is it like, do you feel when you walk through these places, because I kind of even want to talk about the process of like how you get the home, blah, 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 but like when you walk through these places, like, is there a significant difference? Like, are there some homes that are haunted? Do those get even bigger of a discount? Are there ones where it's just a murder and then you walk through and it feels like a cafeteria? And those are normal, you know, like, honestly.
I mean, I've done some ghost hunting for actual stories for realtor.com that you guys can check out at realtor.com/news.
But
I think it depends. Like, I'm not saying I believe in ghosts. I'm not saying I don't believe in ghosts. But when something really terrible happens in a place, even if there are no lingering spirits, like, it's creepy. Like, you're going to be sitting down, drinking your coffee in the kitchen and being like, yeah, whole family was killed, like, right there. You know, so, like, there was that sort of icky feeling attached to it. And a lot of people don't want to deal with that. You know, they just want to come home and like, not only that, like you buy.
They want to be the first person to kill a family in that home.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't want a used family massacre home. You want a new, because of that fresh family massacre smell.
You want to be the ghost. But I want to ask a question. Okay. So, okay. How do you find out about these homes, and what is the process by which they go from crime scene to sellable house? Like what do they do? Like, how long does that take? When is it available to purchase? And is it like, I think that like one of those types of things, like what are the actual like nuts and bolts of it?
It really depends on the house and the circumstances behind it. Like, are you guys familiar with Chris Watts? He's the guy who killed his family.
I just watched the little docuseries on him. What a toad.
Not a nice guy. You're right.
No.
What a bad man.
Very bad person. But yeah. Bad so what? So what they do? Someone bought his house.
Well, no, because this is every story is so unique and different. So with him, he killed his wife. His wife is the co-owner, right? So she's unfortunately gone. The children. I mean, he killed his own kids.
Yes.
So there's terrible stigma with that, right? So like, it's just him left, and he's in jail, and he's not getting out. I mean, he's just not getting out anytime soon. So what happened is, like, he can't pay his mortgage. He can't pay the water bills. He can't pay the taxes on this house. So the house has been sitting in this weird sort of like limbo for all of these years. And the family of Shannon Watts, his wife, who he, you know, strangled to death.
Right.
They sued him, you know, to get, you know, they sued him for cash on it. And what, because he doesn't have cash, he's in jail. They put a lien on the house. And it was like, it was a $6 million lien on the house. So in theory, anybody who bought the house would have to take this lien with it, because the liens go with the house. So the house isn't worth $6 million.
No,
right?
It's not. No.
So you have this giant lien attached to the house. And I believe they transferred the deed formally over to Shannon's parents, to her father. And so I believe it was put up on the auction block, but there haven't been any buyers. So this house is just sitting here in limbo.
Yeah.
And then you have like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, so Jeffrey Dahmer, the apartment building where he just, I mean, they found all those bodies of those guys in it.
Yeah. It wasn't good. Yeah.
No. I mean,
again, you need to repaint. And he's not getting the security deposit back.
Deposit is gone once you start having a whole series of brains in your freezer. But Dahmer, they just demolished the entire building, correct?
Yeah.
Because they didn't want it to be a site where people went and gawked.
Can I ask a question? What happens to everybody else that lives in that apartment building? Like, what happens to the other? Do they just get kicked out? Do they get paid to, like, honestly, like, does the landlord, do they get paid to leave? Or are they just be like,
it just depends.
Yeah, there must have been something that was put in place to rehouse those people. But when it comes to the spectacle of murder houses, is that something that you have to legally tell someone? Like, if you are going to be showing somebody a home, something horrible happened in it, and then next thing you know, they move in and they're like, why are all these people biking so slow by the house, pointing and saying, a gas? Do you have to tell people if something horrible happened in a home?
In most of America, no. There are only 3 states that have laws on the books about disclosing a murder in a home. And
really?
In California, you just have to disclose a death that happened within 3 years. So if it happened 10 years ago, you don't even have to tell anybody.
So someone's just living in like the Sharon Tate murder house right now.
I mean, I hope you would know.
I
would do your Google research, but like, Alaska, South Dakota, you have to disclose a murder and a suicide within 1 year.
Well, in Alaska, you just assume every house has had a murder in. That's Alaska. That's Alaska, you know.
I mean, but you think about it, like, people used to die in their homes just of old age. It used to be where people died back in the day, right? So I don't think that's going to creep out a ton of people, but maybe. But the idea that somebody was murdered in this house, I think people don't know. And there are ways if it was me, when I bought my house, I just Googled it, you know, making sure there was like nothing that happened in the house. But yeah, you're not really required in most states to disclose it. Now, if you were selling a house and somebody was killed in the house in a terrible way, and your point, like somebody asks you, the buyer asks you, you know, did someone die in the house? You probably should say yes if it happened so you don't get sued. But it's really on the buyers or the renters.
That's fascinating. I love this shit. Now, when you sell these houses, all right, Cope, what is the most extreme example that you have of like a home that was a murder scene that just like went to somebody else? Because I know that you've had some famous places, right? Like you've dealt with some famous places that people have bought. And largely, I think they do buy it for the attention factor a little bit because they get to be in a famous house.
I mean, or the freaking discount because you get to be in a neighborhood that's perhaps a little bit above your previous pay grade. So, I mean, 25% off is no freaking joke. That's tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay, but you really get what you pay for. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Like, again, I write about this stuff all the time because you get 25% off. Sounds great, especially in a market like this when it's so expensive to buy a home. But you're going to be dealing with people driving by your house all the time. Stop. Yes, he's going to be driving by your house all
the time.
Look
at my shirt. I got my Faces of Death shirt. I'm outside. Yeah,
he's going to be taking pictures. People are, maybe he's like trying to crawl in the window. I mean, like this really happens in some of these houses. People come by middle of night and try to do like weird satanic rituals in the backyard. Like, do you want to deal with that? I don't want to deal with that.
I mean, it just depends on your personality.
Years.
I will say it's also very difficult to make friends after 35.
It is.
Sometimes it's nice if you get just a friend shows up.
And that's the thing. And what you do is it's your house, which means you can be nude on your own lawn. You got your bathroom. You guys doing a satanic ritual tonight? Then you're hanging out with me. You be the drug dealer, but it's like reverse where they come to you, but you don't leave them alone.
I mean, I just kind of want to come home and like chill out, but like some it's their own, that. You some know, no satanic like rituals in the yard, you know, but whatever. People, they do that, you know, when the call the cops.
But again, we're very specific people. We're all very specific. Now, like when you have a house, right? I really am interested truly in like, you have like, you know, the Conjuring house is this famous house, right? It's this place where people go. We know a lot of ghost activity came in. When you, the previous owners of the house, is it on them to sort of like clear it out, right? Like when you buy a house at a discount, like, are you just getting like, is Annabelle still sitting in a chair? Like, I know Zach Baggins, we know he has it now and all that kind of shit. But like, is it that style where like, there's a lot of times are people buying this shit like fresh after they cut the police tape off of it and then they refurbish the whole thing? Or do people need to flip it kind of beforehand?
I mean, sometimes homes are, I guess, homes go through many, many owners typically, or they sit in the bank. They're in like a foreclosure state. You remember the staircase house? Do you remember the
yes.
one? Yeah.
We just covered it. We just covered
Perfect. So you remember the staircase house? I mean, you had Kathleen Peterson found dead at the bottom of the stairs, blood everywhere. Did her husband, Michael Peterson, do it or not? It's been a mystery. It's been all over the place. That was a really nice house, like 10,000 square feet in Durham, five bedroom, six bath colonial. The couple bought it for $600,000, right?
Nice. In 1992.
Sweet. Okay.
Not bad.
He went to prison and he put it on the market for $1.175 million.
It's a lot of commissary right there.
Okay. It sold for $640,000 years later.
Wow.
Years later to a bakery owner, to a co-owner of a local bakery. This guy renovated it. He did some work on the
house. I hope he took
the
staircase out.
I don't know about that, but you renovate it. 4 years later, it's back on the market. He sells it for $1.3 million to a guy called Nand Fury, who is supposed to be a psychic medium. And this is where it gets also weird too.
Interesting.
Nand Fury like lives in it for about a decade, I guess. And then he starts a GoFundMe page for repairs to the house. I mean, like,
I guess the psychic business wasn't, he didn't have that in the crystal ball there that he was about to go broke, I guess.
That's crazy. You must also deal with a lot of those types too, right? Like when you're dealing with the people who buy these homes, like, are you dealing with a lot of Nick Cages and psychics and all these types of people that, because, you know,
like it. Some people want to like, you know, they want to sage out. So I've written about, you know, some people want to like sage a house. You can hire a priest. I talked to a priest out in, San Jose, California, whose job, you know, part of it is to do exorcisms. He takes it super seriously, like just like the movies. And some people, I talked to a woman who identifies as a witch and they go into houses and do these like ceremonies that, you know, to clear out the spirits. Some people hire paranormal investigators who will do it for free sometimes even. I mean, it's kind of whatever you want to do. I probably wouldn't buy a house that needed more than a sage. But again,
yeah,
to each their own. Everyone I'm does even it a little bit.
I'm just going
to
go with a Yankee Candle. If the cinnamon bun scent does not cure the house for my Yankee Candle, it's above my pay grade, and I can't do anything. Have you ever had an experience where you walked into a home and did you ever feel anything? Have you ever had a moment of like, holy shit, I can tell something happened here when you were walking in to see if you could sell this thing?
And again, I'm not a realtor. I just write about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I tagged along with some paranormal investigators for a story I did about a year ago out in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Oh.
Because people had said it was haunted. And I was like, okay, let's do an investigation. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'm there, the equipment's not working, and paranormal investigators are talking about how sometimes equipment doesn't work if there are spirits. And I'm like, well, maybe that's true. Maybe it's just faulty equipment.
Right.
But then we get down to the basement, and maybe it's because the basement's dark and it's creepy, and we're down there. And the videographer that I hired, his camera starts doing this like exorcism, like going around in circles, and he can't get it under control, and it's never happened, and it's creepy. And I'm
and
going,
you're like,
okay,
don't worry, we're taking 20% off.
Good.
Be like, no, don't worry about this. But you see, what's nice here is that we have a built-in poltergeist butler that is like really.
I don't know. I was like, I should probably get out of the basement now. And like, it was creepy. Like, it was really creepy. It felt. I mean, maybe it was because it was dark and I was with these investigators and who knows, but it felt creepy. And when I got home that night, it was still creepy. I get home and the fire alarm goes off when I get in the door and I'm like, what is that about?
Oh man, did it follow me home? I hope not.
Oh no, it was so creepy. And I'm not saying I believe in ghosts or don't. I'm just saying whatever happened out there. Yeah, that felt weird.
That's really cool to have that experience though.
Did you not? You covered a little bit about the Heaven's Gate compound, right?
I've written about it just a little bit. Let me just pull up. Yeah.
Because that's one of those that's very interesting to me. The idea, because that was a big house, right? Like that was that was essentially like a mansion. I think it was San Diego.
Seven bedrooms.
Right?
Yeah, it was San Diego. Seven bedrooms. Wow.
Now, like
39 people died in that one.
How do you begin to sell that house? Because I feel like what's weird for me is like, I'll take a family annihilator. I don't have kids. Right? I don't care.
Very nice. Yeah,
I'm not scared.
That's
I'm not scared of it.
Nice.
But it was like, but there's something about that house.
39 people.
That would freak me out. 39 bowl cuts. Okay. Like, they're very scary to me.
And bad Nike shoes.
Nikes, yeah.
And then also with, is there a difference? Is there a, I guess, well, from a spiritual perspective or supernatural or just a monetary perspective, is there a difference if it's a murder or if it's a mass suicide?
The more attention these things get, the harder they are to sell.
Okay, because so it's about attention.
Everybody knows about it. And how gruesome it is. Like, okay, two people kill themselves. That's bad. 39, that's worse.
That's a lot.
A lot of people. So this house went from, it was listed for $1.6 million after the suicide.
After it's, so this was so yeah, who owned the house yeah. So, or they rented the house, right?
It did sell, but wait for it, it sold for $668,000.
I would rather have the Heaven's Gate house than the aforementioned family annihilator that Henry seems to take such glee in.
I'm not
because
saying
at the very least they're not haunting that house. They're on Hale Bop. They're on their little comet. They don't want to be there anymore. And I guess there is something about them willingly dying as opposed to it being against their will.
I would rather take
the Heaven's Gate house is all I'm saying.
No.
For $600,000 for a seven-bedroom in San Diego.
Dead people. Okay, let me give you another example.
Now I just feel like I feel like I'm arguing with a wife I don't have. But it's so 600, Pamela, 600,000 San Diego.
Yeah, no, okay. You guys know The Watcher House? You've heard about that one, right? The one that's all over Netflix.
That got resold?
Mm-hmm. Let me pull this up. Okay.
How? You still have, The Watcher is still there.
He's still there. Or she, or whatever is going on there.
That's
right. Going on there.
So creepy.
That is so creepy. So get this. Like, so the house, the story is like a couple buys the house. It's huge. It's a six-bedroom, turn-of-the-century Dutch colonial. They get it for 1.5 $3.5 million in 2014. They put $100,000 into this house in renovations, but they never move in. And they never move in because they get those creepy letters from the watcher. Will the young blood play in the basement and all that kind of stuff? They rented it out eventually for a little while. And they finally sold it 5 years later for about $959,000. Oh. So they lost $500,000 on that house. Ooh. And like other people have owned it since, you know, they've had another owner in that house. But I was reading an article recently that 58 times the police have been called since these new folks have moved in. 58 times.
Oh my God.
I will admit, honestly, this is my legitimate, like, well, I'd say that to my real wife, just being like, well, he's just watching. You know what I mean? He was going to talk to me. No, like,
that one's,
well,
that's beyond.
He's obviously active. Bluffing.
But it's point. Active. He's active until he's not.
He hasn't shown up, right?
Obviously. Oh. With all those Netflix fans driving by, taking pictures, coming up, knocking on the door.
That would be such a colossal pain in the butt. I would never be able to deal, especially when you know things are going crazy in your life, when you're watching the watcher and then you look outside and you're like, I'm in the house. This is about me. Oh, meanwhile, Lord.
You know the watcher is loving this. Whoever the watcher is being like,
but
I would be doing the BTK thing at some point and being like, where's my check? All right, I'm kind of the inspiration for this entire show. So if you guys could maybe give me some IP percentage, that would actually be really nice.
Well, anyway.
Well, I was trying to think another, like, what's another example? I mean, I'll take this forever. I will, like, listen to examples because it's, like, especially with hauntings, because it's, like, the Heaven's Gate home and something like that. It's, like, because that's really very famous. But there are also ones where it's, like, if it's not famous, do you just let it, go? Like, do they just go, like, all right, this kind of, like, and then they don't find out till later, like, oh, the Sandersons used to own that home. They set themselves on fire. You have to, like, then do you just find out from your neighbors?
I mean, sometimes people do. That really does happen, you know? Okay, I'll give you a weird example. This isn't a murder home, but there is America's only legally haunted home. It's across the river from me in Nyack, New York. I just wrote about this one.
So what, isn't there something about this where it's like, because they said it in court? Right. Didn't they like say
legally haunted?
As far as I know, the only legally haunted home in America through like this published opinion in court. It's called the Ghostbuster case. And a family moved in there. The home had been empty for probably a decade or so. At least it was vacant when they moved in. They did a lot of work. This was the 70s. The woman who owned it wrote a story for Reader's Digest, which was a big deal at that time, you know, talking about this haunted home. You know, I talked to her daughter who claims she saw a spirit sitting on her bed one day, you know, just brushing her hair, walked in the room and just sort of walked out when she saw that. And it was also featured on some ghost tours locally.
Yeah.
And then the woman tried to sell the house, and this finance guy from the city and his wife came up to look at the house. They liked it. They put an offer in, they put some money down, and then they found out the home was haunted and were like, no, like, I want to get out of this deal.
Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah.
And so they had to take it to court to get out of this deal.
And they were able to get out.
I mean, yeah, they were able to get out. I think they did lose some money in the end. I'm not 100% sure. At least somebody lost some money here.
It is interesting.
So don't quote me on that. But yeah, they were able to get out of the deal.
So they had to call in paranormal investigators to come in and prove that the house was haunted, or was it just their testimony?
No, the court actually ruled on this one that because the owners were telling people that it was haunted, they had a legal duty to disclose this to the buyers.
That's
you can't tell everybody, but not the people like who are going to live there was sort of the idea.
Right. So that is an example of a legal on the books haunted home. Wow, that is legally fascinating. Haunted.
And what's crazy is all these celebrities have lived in there since, and nobody has reported anything creepy in that house.
We're too horny for it.
I don't know.
We want to see it too bad, and we just don't get to see it. Do you think that, to backtrack for a second, when criminals sell their homes after they're already in jail, how do they get the money? Are they allowed to get that money, or does it just go into a trust? Because some of those guys set up trusts, because I know that, BTK has, like, a thing where it's, like, it's like a percentage goes to some victim association, but then he gets to have like a little chunk, and then, but it has to all be siphoned through all of these like channels.
Okay. Do you remember the gunman, Stephen Paddock? He killed all those concert goers. It was terrible. It was just absolutely terrible just in Las Vegas. It's five years ago. It was just absolutely
I was on that floor at Mandalay Bay, and I was in a room very close to his because I looked over and I was like, that's the McDonald's. That's the field. That story is chilling.
That's just terrible. I mean, it's just such a horrible story. Such a horrible human being.
Yes.
He sold, his two bedroom, two bath home sold at about a 30% discount. But all the proceeds went to the victims' families.
Okay.
So in that case, the money was used. You can't, I mean, it's
no, I mean,
nothing
I can't
even back.
It's
but
the only thing that you can, it's the only thing terrible. You can do. Be like, it's at like least what? You're something.
Absolutely
you're
I mean, there's so many, there's literally hundreds of victims, not just the people that were killed. I mean, so everyone got like, what, 10 cents in the mail. Well, anyway, so what was the, just my last question is, what's the one of the worst murder houses you've ever covered, ever reported on? And is there any time that you've ever said that you want to be no longer a journalist? And just people are so despicable that you want to never be around them again.
Well, see, I get to cover them from my desk mostly now, which is really nice rather than being on the scene and having people screaming at you. So I like this a lot more. I'll tell you what one of my favorites, there's probably two. I would say one would be the Conjuring House and the other would be one of the Charles Manson murder houses because there's such good stories attached to them.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the sales.
And it's in history too. Like that's the thing with Charles Manson. It's like now he's kind of like, he's way more, even to outside of true crime, he's like American history. Like it's about the death of the hippie movement and all that.
Exactly. So there's so much there. Like I would say the Conjuring House, you know, there was that film in 2013 that, you know, brought it back into the public consciousness. But this is this really old farmhouse. It's, you know, built in the 1800s out in Rhode Island. A family moves there. They claim, you know, they have all these paranormal experiences back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Ed and Lorraine Warren, these famous paranormal investigators are there. They investigate.
Those guys. Pittsburgh's local. Yeah. Yep. These guys.
Yeah. So they're there. I mean, this is exciting. A couple bought it a couple of years ago. They're paranormal investigators and they turned it into a business. I mean, they were like living there, but they were renting it out to paranormal investigators and people who wanted to, you know, spend the night. And and they recently sold it. They sold it to a Boston real estate developer who paid $1.5 million for this creepy house. She paid over the list price. It was listed at 1.2. She paid $1.5 million for it. Meanwhile, the couple that had bought it in 2009 got it for $439,000. Just saying. I mean, that's quite the markup.
So that's
right there.
One of the few that's cases where they actually went up.
It went up because it's so famous and they're using it as a business. And the buyer said, you know, she told the Wall Street Journal that it was a uniquely an amplifier for our energy, attitudes, and beliefs. Whoa. If your end goal is to be terrified, it can deliver. Or if you go there to connect with a loved one, it can deliver that too.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's the natural granite countertops. It's a natural
countertops. It's the shiplap. It's the shiplap.
Shiplap also really does help. You got to look at the fixer-upper crew. They're surrounded by
Absolutely.
I think what I'm noticing is a pattern. Is that if you're trying to sell your home at a higher dividend, stage a haunting versus a crime, right? Like, don't do a crime in your home to flip it. Do, like, just be like, my daughter's got, like, you know, and put it all on her. She's a poltergeist, like, magnet.
So you want to show the sausage. You don't want to show how the sausage was made.
Never.
If you're in New Orleans, it could probably do a lot for you. You could probably get the price up. But you got to figure, like, once you start saying that stuff, people don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, we creep out a large portion of the audience. And yet, I mean, like, these houses appeal to people. Like, okay, so you mentioned Zach Bagans before.
Yes.
He bought one of the Charles Manson murder homes. He bought the one where the grocery store owner and his wife, Lino and Rosemary LaBlanca.
Yes. That is the only confirmed, that's like the confirmed Charles Manson self-kill. That's the only one that he did with his own hands, essentially. Mm.
What happened in this one is, you know, this is the one with the helter skelter that they wrote in blood.
Helter skelter.
On the refrigerator. Like, it's just so messed. It's just such a messed up story. And, you know, this home, this home got about a 15% discount from what they were being asked for. Zach Baggins bought it. He had it renovated to do some kind of project, but the project never happened. So, I mean, people buy these things sometimes thinking they can do something with them and nothing materializes. And now you got to find a buyer for that house. I mean, like, if you had the money, would you buy that house?
I don't want that one. I don't want that one, to be honest.
Like, yeah.
Well, I don't deal with people who had any connections with supermarkets. I don't do it.
That's the problem, is he hates supermarkets.
Yeah. And no, I love them. Clara Trapasso, thank you so much for being on the show.
This is this is fascinating. Yeah. It's one of those, it's obviously highly morbid, but people are highly interested in being in these spaces.
Yeah. And there's only so many homes out there. So every home, the one you're in right now, has probably had something horrible happen in it. So it's good to know. Anyway,
is that nice, Claire? Are you excited? Are you excited that he said that about your home?
He's every saying home, something's happening. Everybody's home, including your home.
I hope.
I Googled my home. I did some research. It seemed like a pretty safe.
I'm just saying somebody got an F on a report card and, you know, cried or something in the bathroom. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Anything else you want to tell our audience? How can they find you?
Yeah. Is there anything you're promoing? Is there anything you want to
how do we drive traffic to your work?
Check out stuff. Check out realtor.com/news. And we also have a podcast called House Party that does talk about the staircase home and some of these other homes that we mentioned today. So everybody check them out.
Awesome. That's great.
I love that.
If you see a great murder home, like, email me because I might write about it.
Please do. And I also love, what a fun, unique idea for a podcast. It seems like everyone thinks everything's been done before, but I haven't heard of that. A podcast that just focuses on homes that experienced massive amounts of tragedy and drama and all of that.
The podcast is about housing and pop culture, but it also covers some of these homes too. So a little bit.
That's that niche market stuff that we love. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because it's one of those where I'm fascinated. Again, I'm a looky-loo and I do all of it. I go, I look into people's homes. I think it's fun to see what people's lives are like. And so I look through the windows. Mm. I like going out.
So you're the watcher then. You're the watcher.
He's the poker. Where's
my money, Netflix? I'll watch anything. I'll turn any house in my neighborhood into a watcher house for only $500,000.
Fantastic. Claire, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you guys so much.
You're wonderful. Thank you, Claire.
You're the best.
Live from your grave.
All right. There it was, our conversation with Claire Trapasso.
But think about that. I can make any home in any neighborhood a fucking watcher home, and then that's IP. For Americans. I'm out there
prison time, if you that's what you mean, independent prison time.
I'm just watching.
That's technically called stalking.
No,
but anyway,
but if you don't know, is it stalking if you don't know anybody in the house?
I think that they would feel stalked
unless we do like a winker on them. You do a winker to them.
You're the winker.
Like, listen, I
can't. So you don't want to be the watcher.
I'm going to be the winker. But then what happens is afterwards, like, you tell the family, listen, I'm watching you so we can tell people that I'm watching you and we sell the movie, right? So
yeah,
you'd be super scared by me.
But then you just lowered the value of their house 25%. You're not, it doesn't help the house sales. Don't you just learn that?
Positive watcher.
Oh, God.
I start fixing things outside of the home. Now I'm just a super.
You want to be a landlord. Claire Trapasso. It's just so funny that it's realtor.com/news, and it's like the most macabre thing that we've talked about all week. Why true crime now? It is everywhere. It's all around us. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hope everyone is doing all right out there. And we'll see you all at some point real soon. Hail yourselves.
See ya. And hail Satan, and thank you for your money.
Thank you so much. Magustalations, everybody. Make sure that your house wasn't a murder house. If it is, congratulations on the discount.
Flip it.
Mm-hmm.